Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hello, friends and coworkers. Welcome back. We have a really fun episode today. This is specifically targeting parents and particularly moms. Moms on the field, we have the privilege of caring for our children. Children are a gift, a heritage from the Lord. And we also have the privilege of being involved in the missionary task with the heart of Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost. So we have these two privileges. And sometimes we have seasons in our life when our husbands are traveling a lot, which is difficult, right? It's difficult for any mom to carry the load of mom and dad. And then on the field, I think we have a lot of extra difficulties, depending on how hard it is where you live. Sometimes daily life is hard. Sometimes with ages of kids and different options available for schooling or childcare, not having grandparents around to help. And many times we ladies also have other responsibilities that we're carrying, right, for ministry and leadership. So we want in this episode to encourage our coworkers, especially you moms out there who are in this season. And for this, I have invited two of my dear sisters and friends and coworkers on to be with me. So welcome, Laura and Debbie.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Very, very happy to have you with us. Thanks for your willingness to share. And before we talk about the topic, I would love for each of you to give a little more introduction about yourselves for our listeners.
Well, I'm Debbie, and I've been married to my husband almost 30 years, and we have been on the mission field for over 20. Yeah.
Wow.
So most of the time in South Asia, but we did have 3 years that we lived in Europe as well.
Awesome. And ages of kids.
Yeah. Our kids grew up on the field. They were 4 and 7 when we came, and now they are 23 and 27.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's one of the many reasons I asked you to be on this, Debbie. You're a great mom, and you do awesome work in the task, but you also are ahead of us. You've done the bulk of your parenting, and your kids seem to be pretty healthy and doing really well. So we, and Laura and I, can learn from you being in a season ahead of us.
Yes. My name is Laura, and I, along with my husband, Jimmy, have been on the field for 10 years, and we have 4 kids, ages 10, 8, 6, and 4. So that's the season of life that we're in right now. All those 10 years have been in South Asia, so specifically in one country, but we just moved about a month and a half ago to a new country in South Asia.
Okay, so you're in transition.
We are.
You have 4, 6, 8, and 10.
Yes, yes.
So busy season. And you have recently put your kids in school, right?
Yes, and up to this point, we've been homeschooling. So this is new for all of us. But yes, now they're in school 5 days a week.
Okay. You're still in some of those younger years.
Yes.
My kids are teenagers, so I'm out of that season. So I love having these different seasons here. And of course, we've all done a lot of our parenting, schooling, ministry differently. And so we'll have some different perspectives to share.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And I know my heart and yours also is to really help coworkers think about how the Lord is guiding them, right? And their unique family with their husband, their unique children. And so we really want to point listeners to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And hopefully people can learn from us some biblical principles and some of our experience on the field.
Absolutely.
Why don't we start with kind of big picture, as families come on the field, we all do have to decide how much the husband is going to travel. I'm coming at this, honestly, with an expectation that the husband is the main one traveling, although there are times I travel. There's times Jesse and I travel together. I'm sure the same for you all. But for most of our families, the husband travels more than the wife, and the wife does tend to be home more with the kids, right? So families are deciding how much is the husband going to travel each month? What is good for our family? What's good for our kids? And what does the job need? How big's the geographical area? And then the wife is thinking through, well, what can I manage in light of how much my husband travels and my kids needs? And so how would you advise couples just to think through those decisions?
The main one to me is not putting a guilt trip on yourself that you're not doing something maybe that you see somebody else doing, not to compare yourself, not to put those pressures on yourself. It should be something like you said, going to the Word, talking, being vulnerable with your spouse. What is best for you? And it could be that's trial and error. You try one time and you got to tweak it a little bit or change it to make it right for your family. And whatever you do for your family may not be what you see some other coworker doing.
Yeah, I would say very similar. First off, when we got to the field, we didn't have any kids. And it was a gift. We landed in a city where there were other coworkers, all in varying seasons, which was really cool. We had a family come who was in language learning. And so they actually put their kids in national school while she and I got to go out with her a lot as she was learning the language and doing a lot of really amazing things. But there were also moms in the home that may have gotten out one day a week, but were also doing amazing things and were inviting me into their home. We're inviting others into their home. So that was my first kind of introduction into this life. And I didn't have kids at the time. And so I didn't have those. I could travel with Jimmy anytime I wanted. But I did hear from one of the families. They had four kids at the time, all real little. And we asked them, okay, what are the guidelines? How do you do travel? And I remember the husband responded and said, 10 days a month. And I will not lie, my heart, I went, what? That was my first thought, was that's a third of the month. And if you're doing that every month, that's a third of the year. And so I had this idea of that's not healthy. But now on this side, you know, it is a guideline and not every family hits that. And that was good for that family. They had come to that. So we asked a lot more questions to kind of understand where they were coming from. And it was healthy for them. And they had reached that decision together. And so just like you said, Debbie, not comparing yourself to someone else, to another family, is the biggest key. And it's hard. It's hard not to do that. Because you can either, you feel guilty for not being out, or you feel like you're not doing enough. Or on the flip side, you can feel like you're doing more than others. And so it's bad both ways.
Yeah, but pride going.
You get that pride going. But yeah, not looking to the right or to the left, coming with your family before the Lord and saying, what is faithfulness for us? What is right for our family? And just like you said, Debbie, you may have a kid with specific needs. You may actually have, I know families that the husband or the wife has a physical illness that does, maybe they're fatigued a lot, or that prevents you from maybe traveling as much as 10 days that I had heard. But yeah, you may have tiny newborns at home, or just there's many other things. You, even your context, working in a Muslim context, you know, what that even, how that dictates how the wife can get out, you know, or how much travel, how she can be at home alone. But anyways, that comparing can give you cause for discontent or grumbling, which isn't honoring to the Lord. It's hard not to do that. So that Hebrews for me, Hebrews 12, what is the race? Run the race set before you, set before us. And we all have the same race, but what is my lane? What does the Lord call me to?
Set before you.
Set before
not
me.
For me.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
So you and your husband are going different than our family. And again, seasons of life, which is such a gift that all three of us are in different seasons right now. So it's going to look different. But yes, I think what have we been called to? The last thing I would say about that is, what is your target? And what I mean by that is your family, as you've been called to the field, what is the mega segment? What is it that you are stewarding, you are responsible for? And that is going to look different. I know, like you said, there's some families that the husband can go out for the day and come back in. Others, you can't live among your people. And so travel is required. I know where we lived for a time, it was in the mountains and it required a lot of travel. And so we had to come before the Lord and say, okay, travel is required. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to go about it as a family? But yes, it's going to look different family to family.
So did you ever have, like you and your husband, did you ever have a conflict on the amount of time spent out?
No, our expectations about time out, we never really had a conflict about the amount of days. But the difficulty would be if he's been out those 10 days, my inner peace, yeah. You know, my own sin, being alone with the kids and my struggle with maybe insecurities or what am I doing here? That just gets more and more. It would just come out more the longer he was gone. And so there were times he'd say, I don't know that 10 days is all at the same time is going to be wise. And so we would break that up.
And I think, like you said, you know, it's a continual conversation, right? Because something that you said 2 years ago, it may be different.
Well, and there, speaking of conflict, there, I can't actually speak to a time where, you know, as they travel, sometimes it's tough to connect. And I remember one time, so where we lived, there were times and places where there was no cell service. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what we got into an argument about, but we got into some argument and he was about to cross the line where there was going to be no cell service. And I hung up the phone and was just frustrated. And I thought, okay, for the next 3 or 4 days, I don't remember how long. This is awful. I had no idea he had turned his bike around and came back. So we have had conflict, but
good
that
job,
was
Jimmy.
Right. He did a great job. Got home that night and everything was fine.
Wow. That's great.
I'm really connecting with how both of you shared the comparison that I think for me has come from insecurity and my identity in the Lord Jesus. And that is something we're all growing in, right? And so right now, at the age of 44, I'm more secure in that than I was 15 years ago when I became a mom. I think I had some wrong thinking. I had this idea that the best missionary wife, which I wanted to be, would be one that would always be able to say yes to any travel for her husband, that I would always be able to manage it, that I would never limit him because I don't want to limit the work. Mm-hmm. And there were some good motivations in that. There was a good desire to be committed and to be strong, and I knew that was my role, and I wanted to support the work that way. But I think there was part of it was me really trying to get my significance in that way. And
caused you to see that and change?
Well, it took time and the Lord growing me just in my assurance of his love and approval for me. And I think a growing awareness of when I'm getting my worth from what I do. Mm-hmm. As opposed to from him. Strangely, the season when Jesse traveled the most in all of our years on the field was also the time when our kids were toddlers. Mm-hmm. So kind of a bad combination. And he actually has some regret. Mm-hmm. He wishes he had traveled less for some of those years. Something I have thought about is we all count the cost when we come to the field. There's a sacrifice involved. But sometimes we might sacrifice more than God is asking us to. And so we just need to come at it from an assurance of the Lord's approval and wisdom, not pressure, not like, well, if they're doing 10 days, I'm going to do 10 days. Mm-hmm. I can do it. More wisdom of, okay, I'm willing, Lord, but what is best and how are you leading us? Like you said, evaluating as we go.
Yeah, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right?
That's right. Yes.
So many times we want to judge ourselves. Mm-hmm. When others aren't really judging us, we're putting that pressure on ourselves, which mm-hmm. we don't need to have. It's not from the Lord.
Yeah. Let's talk about some practicals. When you are in those seasons, your husbands are gone, you're home with the kids. What are some ways that you make that time fun, enjoyable for your kids and for you? Any tips you have to share?
I am not a homebody, so I'll go ahead and say that. I get very restless being at home. And so Jimmy did a great job in teaching me how to drive. I love getting out of the house. That helps me. Mm-hmm. And so we would go to the zoo. We would have, especially during homeschool, I had Friday fun days. So we wouldn't really do a whole lot of homeschool then, or we'd do projects on that day. We would go to different things, zoo, there's most likely a mall in your city, you know, it could be small or big. We would do that, but always had fun getting outside. There was a place that we lived that had a river that you could go and swim and play in. And so just trying to get out and even having something fun for each day, a movie night. I think you've done this as well, where depending on how long the husband's traveling, it was, okay, this kid gets to spend the night with me and I have more time with them on that night. I've done that before. That's hard with toddlers sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah. It's more work with toddlers.
Yeah.
But I just did it last night with my 13-year-old son and I was so glad he still wanted to sleep with me.
Oh. So what do the other two or the others do while you've got that special time for that one?
Go to bed.
Oh, okay. So that one gets to
stay up later.
Play whatever games they want to play.
Yeah.
But the other two, you know, or the other three or however many, they have a night
alternated,
too.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So they have something to look forward to. It's not just go to bed. This one gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I would sometimes do a countdown. We do like a something like, you know, however many days you'd count down and there'd be something like in a bag or something that they could get to look in, you know, get a little special treat, you know, or something. That was always fun. Sometimes Randy didn't like some certain food. And so we would actually have it when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
My daughter reminded me that not too long ago. Remember how you used to do stir fry? Because Dad didn't like stir fry.
Yeah.
I mean, he would eat it, of course, but, you know, why not have it when he's not there? So, you know, so it made it fun.
That's a great point. Making it doable is easy meals sometimes, too.
Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And do less school. Don't put so much pressure on yourself, especially when your husband's not there. Now, I know if you have high schoolers or middle school and you're doing special, you know, things to make sure they have all their high school requirements, might be different, but you can figure out a way to make it work for your family.
Yeah.
So that way it just gives you less stress for the day.
Yes. I agree with all those. The having a little fun and easy meals and getting out of the house. And house help. If you're in a place where you can get help and that's something you enjoy, then I think that is can be really helpful to free you up to have more time and to just fight for your time with the Lord.
Amen.
Just really get that.
Yes.
Keep yourself filled up.
And it's okay, I think, for them to see you doing that and understand, hey, I just need to have my time with the Lord because that's a good model for them to see, especially when so many things are going on, frazzling yourself, that you can kind of center yourself with the Lord. Another thing that we do is we make notes for Dad. So getting ready for him to go, we'll write little notes to him. I'll hide them in his socks or shoes or whatever. And so he gets up during his time as he's gone. So
that's awesome.
It's a great idea.
Also, like you said, Debbie, we might have to decrease our school. Mm-hmm. We certainly usually have to decrease our expectations for what we can do in a day, right? I found it helpful, especially if Jesse's going to be traveling regularly, to think through ways that I can be involved in the work while he's gone, right? So what are some ways that you have found to do that?
I would say that is something near and dear to my heart, if it's possible. I know that it's tough, depending on the context and where you are. But one thing that we have always been personally convicted of is to have something locally so that when he does travel, I have people I can call or a church to go to, people that I know and love that can even come to my house. And so I'll speak about one city that we lived in. We had the one that we learned language, moved there, and really dug in locally to where we had some sweet sisters. It took a long time to have these relationships, to get to know these ladies. But once we did, we had a sweet church body. And then it became every Friday, these ladies were at my house. And I specifically set that up to where it was my home so that when he traveled, it didn't matter. It was still in my home.
So your friends were coming to your house on Fridays, bringing their kids. And I'm guessing you had to kind of let go of an idea of this ideal perfect situation because it was probably a bit chaotic.
It was.
And you couldn't always like all focus exactly on what you're saying, but that was okay.
That was okay. And I leaned in. I would invite any. We had a few expats that also lived in that same city. And I invited everyone so that if he was traveling and I can't lead that day, one of you guys can help lead. Mm-hmm. And that was a really, really big thing. But I had just a lot of sweet relationships, nationals as well as expats that I could lean on in that time where he was gone.
Yeah, I think that's a best practice is inviting your ministry partners to your house when your husband is traveling.
So sometimes we would actually go out with Randy. And so I can remember going to villages and it was really great opportunities for the kids to see kind of what he is doing out training and see how the locals lived and really just experience life. I didn't have a lot of locals in our house, but we would go out and they would come with me to do things. As many ladies do, you know, you take kids out to the park and then you see all people and you have a great time to share your faith with others. But also even I did a lot of ministry with slum kids. And so they would come and help me with that. And so it was just, you know, just so many varied opportunities for them to see things. And of course, when they got older and were able to we double up on school or something, then we would maybe go with Randy, fly out. One of the most probably eye-opening experiences for them was going to Varanasi. That's not where we live, but it was a holy city in India. And just to see what it was like to see people by all the ghats and all the places praying to idols. And it was very eye-opening to them to see people that are being cremated there and everything. So it really helped open up their eyes. And then when they would be able to participate and help with some of the training themselves, you know, being able to come up and share something that really makes it personal to them too.
Yeah.
Because it's not just our ministry. They have something they can do their own as well.
That's really meaningful that they know the work that Randy's out doing, and they get to see that lostness and have it touch their hearts and feel like they're a part of it with you. We would also do some of those village trips together. I know you guys have done that too. And they're some of my most treasured memories with our family. To be honest, though, most of the time, we might do that like quarterly because it was a big,
it's a big,
tiring job. But I would always get home from that simultaneously feeling super thankful that I did it and also like, I don't want to do that again for another like few months. But it's a really fun part of our job. Yeah. And then I wanted to add, being able to just share your faith can change your mood so drastically. And I know it's not about me and my mood. Okay. It's about lost people hearing the gospel. But that was something I learned, that if I was feeling down, maybe like in the house too much, get out, take a walk, and look for someone to talk to and engage. And many times the Lord would use that to really encourage me and lift my spirits.
And it's good for your kids to see that too, as you're praying at night with them. And as like you talked about going to that city and seeing what they see it. And so they have questions and you're getting to express to them, yes, dad's going out and traveling and doing this, but we are also about this as we are out and about at the park.
What have been some of the hardest parts of this for you? And how's the Lord sustained you through those?
Well, inevitably, I think everybody, every woman realizes this. Usually something happens when your husband is gone, right?
Yes.
And so that's sometimes hard when you have to go to the hospital or try to figure out something that's gone broken in the house.
Yes. Electricity's off for days.
Yes, or water or... You know, it goes on and on, right? I think a hard thing is just not being able to really have good conversation with your husband. You know, you're so used to having that daily. And just, you know, when they're out, you want to talk, but then you know, it's hard to get them or there may be no cell reception, right? And so that's a hard one. I think, you know, sometimes it's good to know that if something happens, that your husband is willing to come home to help you. Actually, this year, I fell and hit my knee where I had had meniscus surgery. And so I thought that I had torn it again. And it was really painful. And I had flown one way and he'd flown another. Mm. And so I got back. Anyway, so he wasn't back yet. But when I called him, he changed his flight to come back to help me. And nice thing about the story was I didn't tear my meniscus. It was just, as the doctor said, traumatized, whatever that means. But I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I felt better. And I felt better because he was willing to come home and help.
Right,
you know?
Right. So, right. He changed his plans. Mm-hmm. And Debbie, I'm just noticing as you share that you were flying one place, he was flying another, because you're in an empty nest season.
Yes.
I mean, I'm observing in your life, when you had kids at home, you were limited.
Absolutely.
And right now, you are in a high leadership level, working very hard. You have your own role, even apart from your husband. You're united in the task, but you all have different things that you're responsible for. And so that's a really good reminder to me that it's okay to be limited by our children who are a gift from the Lord. Absolutely. And to focus on them and even to know, Lord willing, that empty nest season is coming. Mm-hmm. So that's, you're just a good reminder to me of that.
Yeah. And every season, God provides what's needed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it may be that you have a certain season now with smaller children, but just know that there are different seasons and different timings that God has given, and He will give you what's needed for the task.
Yeah. And you guys have been married 30 years.
Almost, yeah.
And it was still very meaningful for you that Randy changed his plans to be there for you. We need that. We need to know that our husbands will put the work to the side when we need them. That's really, really special.
I really appreciate even talking to a leader yesterday about a certain situation, but he mentioned, you know what? I have this family that I work with that I supervise, and I feel like the husband has gone too long, and I'm going to talk to them about that. And so I appreciate it when leadership will say, listen, like we said earlier, you don't have to do what I do.
Right.
You have to do what's best for your family. And right now, just feeling like you really need, with a sense of such transition, you really need to care for your family.
Yeah. Those are hard conversations.
They are.
But sometimes
the work is there, but you know what? God has called us, first of all, to be a helpmate to our spouse.
Yeah, and the big question is, you know, we'll stand before the Lord. I feel like it's, who am I accountable for? And so those really difficult seasons, I mean, I feel like I'm still in those. So I'm leaning on you guys. But when I had babies, newborns and toddlers, that was hard. It was hard not to believe that lie. Well, I could just be doing this in America because I am in my home most of the time. I mean, most of the time. And you really do. There was a time I thought, wouldn't this be easier if we just lived in America and he just traveled, you know, and did what he needed to do and then came back. That's how much it can really, but who am I accountable for? And like you mentioned, there are seasons. It might be a long season, but these children are a gift from the Lord that have been entrusted to us. So who am I accountable for, you know? And that's always been, I will stand before the Lord and I will have to answer for how I cared for them in this season. Does not mean I cannot get out. There are definitely ways, by all means, but I don't want a mom listening to this to hear, you know, you got to get out, got to do all the things, or you have to be in the home and you can't. It's just, it's tough.
It's a walk of faith.
It's a walk of faith. Yep.
And we're also all created differently, right?
Right.
I mean, there's some more introverts that they'd be petrified if they had to do what you did, right?
Right.
So just thinking how God has created you.
That's right. And there's no shame in that.
Exactly.
No. Yep.
But another thing, that difficult season that we walked through, and this was more recent, in the last city we were in, We had helped plant a church. And so for a time, that was such a sweet thing with really sweet national partners. And so even when we did travel, I was going there. Well, it hit a point that we needed to exit, leave. They were at a point, okay, you guys can do it. But we didn't really set it up where are we going to go now? And so he was continuing that schedule of traveling, but I felt like we didn't have something that we were doing together. And I will not lie and say, I really struggled with that of, I feel very separate for some reason, because now it feels like you're going off and doing all these things, but I don't know where to plug in here. If I am plugging in, it's not with you. So I really... I
I deeply struggled there as well.
Yep.
So that was something that I think if it's possible, you can do together, have something locally to where if you do, you can't travel to the village with him or can't go where he's going, then you do have something that you have together.
Yeah. We also, like you, Laura, our first 3 years in the field, we didn't have any kids. And so then when I had Joya, that first year of having a baby at home was a drastic change compared to being with Jesse all the time. And that was the first time in my life that I dealt with loneliness. Mm. I had never dealt with that until then. And it actually took me a while to even know what I was feeling. Yes. But I started to notice a pattern of when Jesse was gone, I would feel down and not know why. And I realized when I would just get out of my house and talk to anyone, any human, it would perk me up. But this strange thing would happen that when I felt lonely, I would feel like staying inside. So I had to tell myself, the reason you're down is because you're lonely. Go outside, even though you don't want to right now, and then that would help. So that was just all like something I had to figure out because I'd never dealt with it before. Right. And another hard thing for me was facing my limited capacity that I would get, I still do, but especially with babies and toddlers, get really tired. And when I'm done, I'm done. Like I can get to a point where I don't have much else to give. And you can see that in yourself when you're not functioning with enough energy. And so that can be really hard and often would result in really struggling to have patience with my kids, which made me feel a lot of shame and regret. And so those were hard things too.
So were these times out in the field when you felt like I'm done? Or kids or both?
Yeah. What I'm thinking about right now is more like Jesse's gone, I'm home, three toddlers, my kids are all like right close together and dealing with the daily life struggles and local partners coming over, just not feeling like I had enough energy for everything and lacking patience for my kids, lacking love for other people. Mm-hmm. The way that the Lord use that in my life was to really just make me so thankful for his grace, honestly, just and greater dependence. Like, you're going to have to give me what I need right now.
Right.
There were times when I thought, I don't really want these people to be in my house. I just want quiet. I just want rest. You're going to have to give me love and social energy. So we're very limited. And we have to depend on the grace of the Lord over and over and over.